حي على الفلاح.
Look at this one. This is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the hour will not be established until inheritance is not distributed. If we were to contemplate together, what would cause inheritance to not be distributed? Number one, it could be that these were those times that people would be strangers to one another. So this guy takes his family out in the desert, and this guy goes out to the prairie, and then when someone dies, their inheritance doesn't reach everybody else because people are so spread out during these times of fitan. That's one possible explanation. Another possible explanation is that this is towards a time when there is so much ignorance of the religion that people don't even know how to split the inheritance. So the inheritance will not be distributed. That's very plausible as well. Or it could be that people don't care about splitting the inheritance. This is a true story that happened right here in America, where a man, a Muslim man, was on his deathbed. So he gathered all his wealth and he gave his daughter this much and his son that much. So someone told him, what about the distribution that Allah mentioned in the Quran? He said, no, I want to be fair to my children. Just think of that phrase. He said, no, I want to be fair to my children. Before I die, I want to be fair. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, astaghfirullah, what Allah decreed and mentioned in the Quran, that's not fair. That's unjust. So I want to make sure I'm just. Yani, astaghfirullah, it's like saying, I'm going to be more just than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he died upon that. So he just didn't care. Or it could also be that this is towards that time when there's so much treachery and deception and theft that someone would just steal and just take everyone else's inheritance. Very possible. Indeed, from the signs of the hour, this is in Sunan Abu Dawood, is the lifting of knowledge. Lifting of knowledge, we mentioned that. Prevalence of ignorance, drinking of alcohol, and increase of adultery. So most Muslim countries, unfortunately, almost all of them, except for like a small 1%, it's actually less than 1% of Muslim countries, actually ban alcohol. When I was in Malaysia, we were in this big like kind of grocery store or what have you, and then there's a security guard standing in front of the wine and alcohol section. So I said, what does this guy do? Like, why is he guarding the alcohol? They said, he's not guarding the alcohol. He's there to stop Muslims from going into the alcohol section. Because if you know anything about Malaysia, you know, there's a Chinese and an Indian population that are not Muslim also. So they want to purchase their alcohol. So the guy stands there and he stops Muslims from going to the alcohol section. And people can sell alcohol, but if they sell it to a Muslim, they get in deep, deep trouble. So the question is, you might be thinking, how will they know if someone is Muslim or not? It's almost down to race, meaning if you're Malay, there's almost 100% chance you're Muslim. So this guy basically is stopping them by race. And if he sees a Malay coming towards the alcohol, he's like, excuse me, no alcohol for you. If he sees a Chinese guy, he'll let him pass. If he sees a Hindu guy, he'll let him pass. Wallahu alam, but that's basically, you will get in trouble if you sell alcohol to a Muslim in Malaysia. Anyways, let's keep going here. I've got some interesting ones for you. Imam Ahmad mentions from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed, before the coming of the hour, there will be, amongst the things, false testimony. Taking or giving a testimony, especially an oath by other than the name of Allah, yani swearing by Allah that you this is the case, and that you're speaking the truth, it's a great sin. And giving an oath, a false testimony, is a huge, huge sin. But this will increase towards the end of time more and more so. Another interesting one here, narrated by Tabarani, Anas ibn Malik narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the days and nights will not stop. What does that mean? Same meaning. When will the days and nights stop? When the day of judgment comes. The days and nights will not stop until the most prosperous person in this world is Luka' ibn Luka'. What does it mean, Luka' ibn Luka'? It's a generic term that means most lowly, the son of the most lowly. It means someone is someone of bad and low lineage, and he's not, his origin is not known, nor is any good quality or mannerism known to him. He's not known for having any good quality or good manners or anything of that. It means these people, they will be in charge of people's affairs and they will control things or control the wealth of others. So it's not a good thing. So don't go naming your son Luka so he becomes prosperous. I mean, Luka here means someone who's unworthy, someone really, for lack of a better term, trashy, who just becomes wealthy and prosperous. Now, isn't that the case today? And you'll see some trashy and, you know, family or a trashy person, and then they have their own reality TV show. And what is on their show? The whole episode, she is fighting with the other one, and they're calling each other names and bleeps, 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 and the whole episode is just garbage. And then you go into the store and you see a towel with their name on it. I wouldn't buy a trash can with your name on it, or a garbage bag with your name on it. But now these people, and all we see from them is just bad manners and trashy behavior and fighting and cursing and cussing each other on television, and now suddenly they want me to buy a product and a frying pan with their name on it. So people who have no value, intellectually bankrupt, but suddenly they're popular and they're selling us products and they're making so much money and they're getting deals and all that. Look at Ibn Luka, just people who are not worthy, and they're the most prosperous. And that's the situation we find all around us. This is a very easy to understand. Imam al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, mentions from Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, from the signs of the hour is the appearance of sudden death. And this makes sense from a number of viewpoints. Like, number one, the instruments now that we have that can cause sudden death are so many as opposed to 1,400 years ago. Like, for you to die suddenly was so uncommon unless you just fell off a mountain or fell off the roof of the house and stuff. But now we can fall off the mountain and the roof of the house and add to that, get hit by, you know, bus number three on your way to work. So there are many car accidents. These are things that just, oh, I'll go to the store, I'll be right back. Boom, the guy just doesn't come back. Otherwise, he was perfectly healthy. And of course, we've got crime, and guns are very instant. I don't think we can argue that. All these increase sudden death. And sudden meaning no one saw death coming. Like, someone was healthy completely, and then you saw him in the morning, and they tell you in the afternoon, oh, so-and-so died. And this happens so much, and you don't even have to be involved in, you know, gang-related activity. Sudden death. Oh, and then, of course, we've got other things, heart attacks and all these, you know, diseases now that are just causing people to drop dead. And that didn't exist as much at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, possibly because they ate good food. And this is the hadith I was alluding to before, that, or actually last episode, that there will be king and strangeness to the extent that a person almost knows no one. That people have to be distant from each other and they don't interact and visit and go down to town and talk and all that. And it's interesting how quickly faces change. I remember I used to live across the street from this masjid for about 2 years or something like that. Or maybe it was a year, I can't remember. But I just knew every face in that masjid because we'd go 5 times a day. And then I came to it, I think it was 2 years later or something, or 3 years later. I think maybe 3 years later. I could not recognize a single face. Like, you'll be surprised how much and how quickly people move around and shift and go to other places. So imagine there is some kind of fitna. So people separate themselves. You know, 5 years, 6 years, you're with your family away from everybody else. When people meet again, they barely recognize each other. That's what that is referring to. We can explain this hadith or this sign with two other hadith. One of them is like what I just explained. In Sahih Bukhari, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, there will come a time when the best property of a Muslim will be sheep, which he will take to the tops of mountains and the places of rainfall so as to flee with his religion from the afflictions. Meaning, people now are, there's so many trials happening that a person takes what he can and he just goes away from the trials and the tests and afflictions. That's one. The other hadith is narrated by Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, that this hadith is talking about people actually breaking away from the community. And it's a really beautiful hadith, and it's important for us to always remember a hadith like this. The Prophet ﷺ said that the one who mixes or mingles with people, interacts with people, and is patient upon their harm. There's something beautiful here. We see the fact that you interact, there's going to be harm. Why? Because there will be miscommunication, misunderstandings. There has to be some kind of harm. The fact that you interact with people, there will be harm, either from you to them or from them to you. And by virtue of them mixing with the people, this is the result that has to happen, and is patient upon their harm, is better than the person who does not mingle with people, he does not mix with them, he does not interact with them, and is not patient upon their harm. And you see this a lot happening in the community. You'll see someone who never shows up to the masjid. Oh, I just live across the street. Why don't you show up? Oh, I came here a couple of times and I had some, you know, problems with people, or some people said something nasty to me. You would have been a better person to keep coming back and being patient with their harm. It is never, and there's no excuse for staying away from the Muslim community because, oh, there are some mean women here or there's some rude guy in the musalla. First of all, you harm yourself when you stay away from the house of Allah Azza wa Jal and the jama'ah and the remembrance of Allah and the classes and all that stuff. That's the first thing. The second thing, you're just already not being the better person you could have been by not being patient. You know, our religion is just so built upon us congregating. We congregate daily, weekly, yearly, and sometimes beyond a year, like the eclipse prayers. It's all about community and being together. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us analogies of how the wolf will eat from the sheep that strays away from the flock. So it's about being together. So it's not an excuse that, oh, there's one rude guy or four rude people in the masjid, I'm not going to go back. Your job is to come back and to be patient. So that explanation of people breaking away from the community, and that hadith is really beautiful. People really should remember it. And a lot of times, the good people will leave because, oh, there's some rude person in the masjid. So then what happens? If just think forward, then we'll have masajid just filled with the rude people who sent the good people away who didn't want to be patient. Then is that even appropriate that that's what we have left in the masajid? So all of us as a community, we're to pardon, forgive one another, and keep coming back to the house of Allah. Some people will disappear for months. What happened? Oh, that sister was rude to me. Tayyib, this is Allah's house, and it's not her house. Keep coming back and be patient and make friends, make peace. You know, that's why the Prophet ﷺ described the hypocrite. When he has a disagreement with you, he takes it to the next level, to the level of fujur. Whereas the believers, they have a misunderstanding. Next day, they apologize to each other. Even if you're not the one who's mistaken, extend your hand out and make some kind of apology, make up peace, and that's it. Oh, I abandoned the masjid for 3 months because this person said something about the color of my mish'arif. Really, one more time, it's beautiful that whoever interacts with people and is patient upon their harm. It's almost like saying it's guaranteed. If you interact, there will be harm. Then be patient upon it. That's the answer. You don't leave good, you don't leave the masjid, you don't never make up with them. And if you leave the masjid for 3 months, that means you haven't spoken to them for 3 months. You're avoiding them for 3 months. You're not supposed to avoid your brother for 3 days. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.